Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm up on the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. I had a guest lined up in segment number two. I'm 2.5 hours after we were supposed to do the interview, still waiting for them to respond. So we are going to try to make lemons out of whatever the heck we got. And I'm just going to share with you guys in segment number two some of the resources that I utilize in terms of taking a look at the great game of baseball, how you're able to utilize them for your own handicap, and just when it comes to trends, what you should slash should not be utilizing to be able to help yourself become a little bit of a better bettor. So we're just going to let you guys inside the curtain there. I don't know what happened in terms of my guess, but that said, we're going to give you guys that in segment number two. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this baseball Monday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at @JDNR41. Keep in mind, Larry CM, the name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline and please do send those in because oftentimes I try to answer those questions in segment number one. And in a situation like this where you have someone fall through, I always try to just give you guys something that you've been looking to hear a little bit more about, just a way to be able to help make you guys better bettors in general. I'm always up for that. I'm always up for talking shop in terms of some of the nitty gritty of some of the things that can be the difference in terms of being a person that is either like breaking even or profiting or going from being a losing bettor to breaking a little bit closer to even as well. So we're looking to do everything humanly possible to help you guys out there. And then the other way to be able to send in those questions slash what you want to hear on this podcast is an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but we had a fun day of baseball on Sunday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
The string of 21 straight starts by a Seattle Mariners starting pitcher with 2 runs or fewer allowed comes to an end, but our DK now regret to pick up the Mariners still comes through 5-4 the final as for the Seattle Mariners, by the way. This was their first over in at minimum 10 games. Like, they had been stuck on 7 overs for about an eon and a half. Still your best under team in all baseball. 8 overs, 24 unders, and 2 pushes. But that said, for Seattle, the man that came up clutch in the 9th inning, Cal Raleigh, 8th home run season off of Josh Hader, is having a miserable season. He gives up that home run in his ending of work. He's got north of a 6 ERA, and Hunter Brown, he gives up 4 walks, 5 hits, and 4 1/3 innings, bailed out by Julio Rodriguez, swinging at a few balls, or else this would have really been in the bag. But that said, Seth Martinez, pair of outside the bullpen, Sean Dubin, a scoreless inning, but Rafael Montero, along with Brian Abreu, they both allow a run and an inning. And for Bryce Miller, he allows a pair of home runs, gives up all 4 runs in his 6-plus innings as he's taken deep by Kyle Tucker, 9th home run season, and John Singleton is 3rd. As for Taylor Cicado, he was able to come in and lend a scoreless inning. Andres Munoz, Ryan Stanek, they combined for 2 scoreless innings, so Seattle finds a way to be able to get the job done on Sunday Night Baseball. The San Francisco Giants find a way to be able to get it done. 5-4, they're able to take down the Philadelphia Phillies as For San Francisco, Logan Webb just did not have it, and you always want to be noting his home and road splits. 5 runs, 4 of which were earned, given up in 4 innings, including a home run going deep for the Philadelphia Phillies. Bryce Harper, his 7th home run of the campaign. From there, Sean Hagelet, hopefully I said that correctly, 2 scoreless innings. Taylor Rogers, a scoreless inning, and you also had a scoreless inning as well from one Mr. Ryan Walker. And for San Francisco, you did have Jose Alvarado give up a home run. It was home run number 1 of the season for Jackson Reitz. So that reads for what you saw out there. And then you had Theriot Estrada get his 5th home run of the campaign. That came off of Taiwan Walker, went to a relatively solid start. He gives up that home run, 3 runs in total, 6 and a third innings. Gregory Soto, a pair of outs out of the bullpen. Jeff Hoffman, a scoreless inning before Alvarado gives up that home run. But the Phillies, they find a way to prevail. They are now 24-11, looking very rock solid out there in the National League. And the team is right now leading the way in terms of the American League. That would be the Baltimore Orioles. How about them being able to get a quality 11-1 drubbing over the Kansas City Royals as Dean Kramer delivered? 1 hit allowed in 6 scoreless innings. Yeah, Mike Bauman give up and out of the bullpen and getting 2 outs. And Albert Suarez, he goes for 2 and a third innings scoreless. And for the Orioles, trio of home runs. Jordan Westberg off of Nick Lodolo, his 6th home run season. You had Emilio Pagan giving up to Anthony Santander, his 5th home run season. And Brent Suter gives one up to Ryan McKenna, his 2nd home run of the year for Lodolo. He gives up 4 runs over the course of 5 innings. Not his best showing there, but it was not the best showing for Alexis Diaz either. He gives up 4 runs while getting an out of the bullpen. Emilio Pagan gives up a solo home run and 2 outs out of the bullpen. Sam Moll, scoreless inning. And Brent Suter gives up a pair of runs in his 2 innings of work. And for Baltimore, one of your top over teams out there in all baseball. 17 overs, 14 unders, and 3 pushes. But they hail in comparison to the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers lead the way in terms of top over rate. But despite this total being 6.5, the under hits, as for the Brewers, they were unable to get any runs up on the board. 5-0. The Chicago Cubs are able to get the win. As for Freddie Peralta, a little bit of a rough go here as he just couldn't command. 6 walks given up in 5 innings. Wind was blowing in, so that mitigated the runs as he gave up 3. He had from there Jansen Junk not live up to that name. He gives up 1 run in 2 innings. Not Junk, not tremendous. Thiago Vieira, though, he does give up a run in his inning of work as he gives up a home run to Dansby Swanson. 4th home run season. And for Javier Assad, got into a little bit of danger, but 6 scoreless innings out of him. Yancy Almonte, 2 scoreless innings. And Daniel Palencia, a scoreless inning as Brewers go 0-7 with men in scoring position. For the New York Yankees, they get the job done against the Detroit Tigers, 5-2, though. This game was called prior to the start of the 8th inning due to rain, so he had a full game total, which it did land on the over. This was a closing total of 6.5. That was a little bit rough. And for Derek Skubal, it takes a no decision after punching out 12 guys in 6 innings. He did allow a home run, though, going deep for the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge, 7th home run season. Then in the 7th inning, it was Shelby Miller who really yacked this one up. He gives up 3 runs in a 3rd of an inning. Andrew Chafin, Alex Lang, both getting out of the bullpen from there. Meanwhile, for the New York Yankees, relatively good showing here from Nestor Cortes. Gives up 2 runs in 6 and a third innings. 9 punch-outs from there. Ian Hamilton, Victor Gonzalez, both giving out of the bullpen. And Dennis Santana was able to come in. He got a scoreless inning to be able to get the job done out there. Alek Manoah. Manoah, what? He right now sucks. He gives up a grand total of 7 runs, 6 of which were earned for the Toronto Blue Jays as they fall to the Washington Nationals by a count of 11-8. And the Blue Jays had in this game a 6-1 lead, and they completely grasped it as for Alek Manoah gives up a pair of home runs, 4 walks in his 4 innings as going deep for Washington. It was Mr. Jesse Winker being able to get a home run, his 4th of the campaign, and Luis Garcia's 3rd home run season. A little bit later on, you'd have Eddie Rosario, who's been miserable this year, going deep off of Eric Swanson, his 2nd home run season since coming off the injured list. Eric Swanson, not great. He gives up a run in an inning, and that dropped his ERA to a 16.50. Genesis Cabrera, Nate Pearson, Zach Pop all go an inning. They all give up 1 run, nothing more, nothing less. And for Vlad Guerrero Jr., he does go deep off of Mackenzie Gore, 4th home run season. As for Gore, he did get gored. He gives up 6 runs, 2 of which were earned in 3 innings, hurt by 3 errors, 1 of which was his own, so we have to keep him accountable there. But Jordan Weems from there gives up 2 runs, 1 of which was earned in a 3rd of an inning. But Jacob Barnes, Kyle Finnegan both turn a scoreless inning. Dylan Flora, Hunter Harvey, they combine for 3 scoreless innings. And Derek Law, tis the law that he doesn't give up any runs. He was able to give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen as well. The Minnesota Twins rode an 11-game win streak going into Sunday, though. 9 of those wins came against the Chicago White Sox and also the Well, the Angels send that game to an end, 9-2. The Boston Red Sox are able to get it done. Rafael Devers was able to get his fourth home run of the season. That comes off of Jay Jackson. And Zadina Rafaela is third home run of the campaign off of Joe Ryan, who's really had a tough time with the deep ball throughout his career. He gives up 3 runs in 6 innings for Ryan, including that home run. But Jay Jackson and Cody Funderburk made a mess out of this. A combined 3 innings, giving up 6 runs, with Jay Jackson giving up that home run. And for the Twins, you had Ryan Jeffers get his 6th home run season. That comes off of Cooper Criswell, who he did a relatively solid job. Gives up that home run in 4 1/3 innings. From there, Brennan Bernardino gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen. Cam Boozer was able to give it on to as well. Kenley Jansen, scoreless inning. Josh Winkowski, he gives up a run in an inning, but he also had 1 2/3 inning scoreless out of Zach Kelly. So the Red Sox, now 19-16, they're looking relatively solid out there in the AL East. And the LA Dodgers are looking very solid, as they got the best start that they could hope for, in my opinion, out of James Paxton. 5-1, they're able to take down the Atlanta Braves. Paxton has really been dealing with walks issues, but tame them a little bit here. Gives up 2 walks, a solo run over the course of 6 2/3 innings, as going deep for the Atlanta Braves. It was home run number 10 of the season for Marcell Ozuna, and that's all that they got on offense. As Matt Max Fried, well, you should be mad about this start. 4 runs surrendered over the course of 7 innings, including a pair of home runs. Shohei Ohtani takes him deep for his 9th home run season. Teoscar Hernandez is 8th, and then Ohtani goes deep off of A.J. Minter. Home run number 10 of the season, as Minter gives up that home run in a 3rd of an inning. Jesse Chavez, pair of outs out of the bullpen, and for the LA Dodgers, Blake Treinen, Michael Grove, they both supply a scoreless inning, and Joey Kelly, he's able to give you an out of the bullpen as well. And for the LA Dodgers, once again, 234 regular season wins since the beginning of the 2022 campaign, all but 36 by multiple runs. You saw the Arizona Diamondbacks absolutely laying Basie, San Diego Padres 11-4, the finalists. For Arizona, they have been a little bit of an overwhelming team this far this season when they've been at home. On the road, a little bit of a different story, but that's up for the San Diego Padres. Matt Waldron gives up 8 runs, 7 of which were earned in 3 innings, including a home run going deep. One, Mr. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, 6th home run season. Then Jock Peterson, home run number 3 of the season. That comes off of Johnny Brito, who gives up 3 runs in 3 innings. Steven Kolick, Wandy Peralta, they both land a scoreless saying. And Jackson Merrill goes deep off of Ryan Nelson, 2nd home run season, as Nelson gave up 3 runs in the 2nd inning. He gave up 4 runs in total, of course, in 5 innings, but bullpen from there was solid. Joe Mantiply, along with Ryan Thompson, Kevin Ginkle, and Justin Martinez, all able to lend a scoreless inning. So that'll get the Arizona Diamondbacks back online. And hey, for the Miami Marlins, they don't get swept by the Oakland A's. They win by kind of 12-3. As for Miami, it has been a rough go of it for them the last few days, as they were able to take out their frustrations with Nick Flash Gordon getting a home run, his 4th of the campaign. That comes off of Joe Boyle, who did not have the world's greatest start here. He lasts a full inning, giving up 4 runs. He walked 3, and then he had from there the bullpen have to lend a lot of relief. TJ McFarland, he gives up 4 runs at inning. He had 4 runs surrendered by Mitch Spence in 4 2/3 innings as a bulk guy. And for Michael Kelly, 2 1/3 innings scoreless for the Oakland A's. They were averaging 3 runs per game going into Saturday at home, and they score 3 in this one at 6-0 Sanchez. 2 runs surrendered in 4 innings. From there, a bullpen that has been very, very bad this far this season. They come up big. Andrew Nardi, Birch Smith, Anthony Bender, Eli Villalobos, they're all able to end a scoreless inning, and Calvin Fauché, he gives up a run in an inning. So, yay verily for the Miami Marlins, and yay verily for the Chicago White Sox, who they entered into Saturday with just 1 road win all season long. They now have 3, as they've gotten 2 in the span of a weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. 5-1 the final. Garrett Crochet was pretty tremendous here. Gives up a solo run over the course of 6 innings, going deep for St. Louis. Willis Contreras, his 6th home run season, and Matthew Liberatore gets a little bit of a surprise start. 5 punch-outs, 1 run allowed, and 3 2/3 innings. From there, you had 2 1/3 innings scoreless from Kyle Leahy, and then the bullpen completely gacks this one away. Giovanni Gallegos gives up 3 runs without getting a single out, allowing a home run along the way, as it was Eloy Jimenez getting his 4th home run of the campaign. From there, John King, 1 run surrendered and 1 2/3 innings, and Nick Robertson was able to get far outside the bullpen scoreless. Meanwhile, for the White Sox, John Brebbia, Stephen Wilson were both able to land a scoreless inning, along with Mr. Jordan Leisure. So the White Sox find a way to be able to get the job done, as we saw a little bit of a rise of the tomato cans over the weekend, but you did not see a rise from the LA Angels. 4-1, they lose to the Cleveland Guardians. As for the Angels, Griffin Canning, not a bad start here. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings, did allow a home run along the way, going deep for Cleveland. Mr. Jose Ramirez, 6th home run season, then Josh Naylor off of Matt Moore, his 8th home run season for Moore. He does give up more, giving up two runs in an inning. Adam Simber, he was able to turn a scoreless inning, but for the Angels, they go 0-6 with men in scoring position as Carlos Cookie Carrasco. Been a rough start to the season for him, but gives up just one run in six innings. Scott Barlow, Tim Aaron, Emmanuel Clase, they're all able to end a scoreless inning to be able to get that one to the window. And for the Colorado Rockies, they remain relatively rough. 5-3, they lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates. As for the Buccos, they did a nice job getting to Ryan Feltner, who gave up five runs in 5 2/3 innings, including a home run to Oneil Cruz. Fifth home run season from their Tyler Kinley, four outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and Anthony Molina, a scoreless inning of his own for Colorado. Jacob Stallings was able to get home run number two of the season, and Sean Borchardt is first. They both come off of Bailey Falter, who lived up to that name, giving up three runs in 5 1/3 innings, but bullpen at his back. David Benner, Aroldis Chapman both turn a scoreless inning, and Luis Ortiz, 1 2/3 innings scoreless, and the Rockies are now 8-26. Not terrific, to say the least, and for the Tampa Bay Rays, they've got the second worst run line record in the big leagues. Only the Miami Marlins at 11-25 and worse on the run line, but the Rays, they get the job done in 10 innings, 7-6. They were the favorites, so they don't cover the run line, as Luis Severino, bad start here. 6 walks, 4 runs allowed in 5 innings. From there, the bullpen honestly wasn't bad. Jorge Lopez, Reed Garrett, Sean Reed Foley, alternate scoreless setting, and then you had, of all guys, Edwin Diaz yak this one up, giving up a solo run in the ninth inning. Going deep for the Tampa Bay Rays, Randy Orozarena has been miserable this year. 5th home run of the season. From there, Jake Diekman, 2 runs, one of which was earned, give it up in the 10th inning. And for the Mets, they strand 13 men on base, so they did get a home run off the bat of Francisco Lindor. 6th home run season. That comes off of Ryan Pepiot, who lasted 2 innings. He took a line drive of like 107 miles per hour off the leg, so he had to be pulled from this game. From there, you have Manuel Rodriguez give up 2 runs, one of which was earned in his inning of work. Kevin Kelly, along Sean Armstrong, turned 2 scoreless innings. Garrett Clevenger, a scoreless inning. You had from there, Erasmo Ramirez get the final 2 outs out of the game, and Jacob Lopez, 1 1/3 innings, allows an unearned run. So that was wacky, and that was crazy, and the Texas Rangers have been wacky and crazy, and they get a 3-2 win over the Kansas City Royals. As for Texas, 55 Shades of John Gray was able to give you a lot of different shades of strikeouts. 7 strikeouts over the course of 7 innings, giving up 2 runs. Kirby Yates, 2 scoreless innings, and then David Robertson, he learns a scoreless inning to be able to get the save, as Jonah Heim was able to send this game to extra innings. He goes deep off of James McArthur. 4th home run season as Daniel Lynch, recalled from the minors, looked actually quite good. 6 strikeouts and 5 scoreless innings on El Zerpa, 2 scoreless innings. John Schreiber gives up a run and an inning, and then for McArthur, he gives up that home run in the 9th inning and then gives up an unearned run in the 10th inning. So the Rangers find a way to be able to get to the window. And if you're looking at Major League Baseball right now, has been a very underwhelming start to the season thus far, as it's really been a result of a last 30 days that has been a slog. Last 30 days in baseball, 217 unders to 167 overs. That's a 30-day stretch of the under-inning at a 56% clip. In the last 30 days, favorites have been inning at about 58.9%, 234 and 163. And if you want to narrow it down to the last 7 days, relatively similar. 53 and 36 are favorites on the money line, and home teams, 56 and 36, hitting at nearly 61% over the last 7 days. And in the last 7 days, 48 unders, 36 overs. That is a little bit north of 57% to the under. And overall for the season, unders are up to right around about 53%, 261 unders to 231 overs. Meanwhile, favorites, they're hitting at a 58.6% clip, 299 and 211 on the money line. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Sunday. Now coming up next, I'll share with you guys some of the resources I use for handicapping baseball and some of the trends that you might not want to be utilizing. That's up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, due to, well, shall we say, unforeseen events. I do not have a guest today, but that said, I know that's something that you guys always ask me about is how I come up with the handicap that I do and some of the resources I use for my handicapping. If you listen to the game breakdowns, that's pretty much what I do take a look at in terms of my handicapping. Every game is its own living, breathing entity, so I can't give you like one boilerplate thing being like, oh, I put 30% of emphasis on ERA, 30% on fielding independent when taking a look at pitchers or anything like that, because every single game is just a little bit different. But I did want to share with you guys some of the resources I do utilize to be able to give you guys those breakdowns, to be able to make the evaluations, the handicaps that I do use. And I have been taking quite a bit more of a look at splits in recent years. When I was just starting out in 2018, when I just really was first taking a look at the game of baseball in terms of handicapping. Like, I've always loved baseball. I used to play baseball when I was a little kid, all the way from T-ball, and then decided to retire after the 8th grade due to a lack of talent. I actually used to be a pitcher, and I was the most accurate pitcher out there. So, if you notice why I always take a look at these guys at their walks per nine rate, I never ever walked anyone. You had to hit the ball off of me in order to get on base. Now, I gave up some very, very hard contact, but you had to hit the ball in order to get on base, which when you're like 12, 13 years old, that's a little bit easier said than done for some of those kids. So I give myself a little bit of credit there, but that said, it's something that I do take a look at is a per nine inning basis, which I do think is so big because so many people take a look at, oh, how many strikeouts does he have? How many earned runs does he allow? The ERA and everything like that. But when you're able to break things down on a per nine basis, I do think that you get a little bit of a better view of things. And I utilize Baseball Reference for this. Baseball Reference does a great job taking a look at strikeouts per nine, and you're really able to break down the splits year by year in terms of the situational spots sort of as well. well. And then obviously you do want to be taking a look at a pitcher's innings as well, just because when you have a guy that's able to be an innings eater that is able to go out there, give you a relatively good performance, it's a big reason why, if you recall a few seasons ago, Cal Quantrill, when he's with the Cleveland Guardians, was actually a really profitable pitcher. Even though he wasn't like the world's greatest pitcher or anything like that, he would give you those consistent 5 to 6 innings, and that's always something that you do want to be mindful of, but you do want to be taking a look at, all right, what's a guy's strikeout to walk ratio? What is a guy really giving up in terms of just base runners in general? And something that goes a little bit under the radar, and I wish baseball did this, because back when I was a kid, I always thought that walks and hit by pitches were all sort of lumped together. I come to find out many, many years later that they are not all lumped together. That's something that you do take a look at as well, because when you have the like league leader in hit by pitches, they might have like a walks per nine rate of 2.5, but when you add those in there, it's more like 3.5. So that's something that you do want to be a little bit mindful of, and that's something that I do incorporate with regards to my handicap when I do take a look at some of these guys in terms of their overall pitching splits. But something that I think that you guys have picked up on as well is that I really do value these guys that they pitch well slash not well on the road. Like, we go back to Sunday. A big reason why I was fading the heck out of Logan Webb is that if you take a look at him throughout his career, very, very good in San Francisco. A guy that I love to be all back in San Francisco. His ERA on the road over the last 2 years has been about 2 points higher. That, I think, is just, oh, so critical to be taking a look at, especially these guys that pitch out there on the West Coast, because San Francisco, very much a pitcher's ballpark. Seattle, very much a pitcher's ballpark. Oakland, during the nighttime, especially, is a pitcher's ballpark. During the daytime, can be a little bit more hitter-friendly, and I don't utilize a ton of data night splits. I will in a few certain circumstances, like in Oakland with a pitcher. That's something that I will actually utilize it for. When it comes to a pitcher in like Tampa Bay, for example, the day-night splits don't matter. Like, I mean, if a guy is struggling during the nighttime, I just think that that's just a little bit circumstantial. Sure, there are some people that are day people, there are some people that are night people, but I really don't lump it in too much. Whereas in a ballpark like Oakland, yeah, there's a reason why this pitcher might be struggling a little bit more during the daytime rather than the nighttime. Like, we all recall Jacob deGrom always used to be like the daytime wizard. I have no idea how, and I have no idea why, but that's something that I would factor in as well. And if you just see something very glaring like that, you do want to be taking it into account. Like right now, now that we're getting a nice data size with regards to the pitcher versus hitter data as well, you're going to notice I'm going to be looking to back some of these teams that have been able to do a very good job against lefties and fading other teams that do not. Like, looking at the San Diego Padres, for example, them hitting .194 right now this season against left-handed pitching, meanwhile absolutely raking righties, that's something that you do want to be accounting for. I typically won't go like batter to batter for that. If you're looking to play props, I would say you certainly want to do that. I know that we have on this show mid-major Matt Josephs, who always does a tremendous job, and I know that this is something that he always takes a look at in terms of a DFS standpoint. I know that we've got a few other folks in terms of props. I'll need to get on Jovan Alford, who I know that he does a pretty solid job on this front as well. We'll probably get him on within the next few weeks. That's something that he does a nice job. I'll be able to take a look at as well, but that's something where I do take a look at things from a team-by-team basis, and something that I've utilized a little bit more this year as well is trying to take a look at some upside with these teams as well, because now with the advent of baseball, Baseball Savant has done a really nice job of being able to give us just sort of what the batting average is currently versus the expected batting average. Like right now, if you take a look at the expected batting averages of these teams, you've got some teams that have gotten what has been relatively deserved, and some teams have gotten a little bit lucky slash unlucky. If you can guess who the team with the lowest expected batting averages, I don't think that'll come as a surprise, but that's the Colorado Rockies. But the Rockies are actually hitting 18 points currently above what is being expected, and that tells you that even though the Rockies have stunk, the stink could actually get even worse. And that's something that you do want to point out, because a lot of people think that just because a team is playing bad that they're, and I quote, due for one. Well, actually, in the case of the Colorado Rockies, they are not. They're actually due for even worse results, which that I find to be just absolutely incredible. And if you do take a look at league-wide, and something that Baseball Savant does as well and I really like, is that they're looking at what is expected for the league. Like right now, the league batting average is a .239. The expected league batting average is a .246. And the expected slugging percent should be going upwards a little bit, which That tells me that the Major League Baseball might be getting juiced up a little bit more. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And I'm not a conspiracy guy by any stretch of the imagination. I say this because baseball has done it all the stinking time. Like, it's not really a well-kept secret by baseball whatsoever. And, I mean, it's been a pretty miserable year for home runs. If you've been taking a lot of home run props, they probably have not been hitting at the rate that they have in past years. But it's certainly something that I do take a look at, and there are some trends I take a look at. Like I was just pointing out with pitchers, home and road splits, I think that those are absolutely critical to be taking a look at. It's a big part of my handicap, and you'll notice it with a lot of my DK Network write-ups. I will be putting in there, hey, I'm backing this guy because he pitches really, really well at home, and he's at home today, and something like that. Well, something that I'm not going to be taking a look at is like days of the week. Like, I don't think that there's any correlation to a guy having a point lower ERA on Wednesday than he does on Thursday. Like, I have no idea how you'd even quantify that, because teams have just different rotations in general, and there are some teams that they just to go with a 5-man rotation, sometimes it's a 6-man rotation, sometimes they want to give a guy an extra day of rest. Like, how do you just pitch better on like Wednesday rather than Thursday without it just being some just random act? And I mean, who knows, maybe you're facing off against like the Chicago White Sox every Wednesday, and every Thursday you're facing off against the LA Dodgers. Yeah, that's going to play into it a little bit as well. So that's always something to be very mindful of. And I know I've been asked this as well, and this is something that I don't utilize. That'd be umpire splits. I just assume that every umpire is going to be against me in every single stinking game, and I just say, you know what, I'm probably going to get to the short end of the stick here. We live and we learn, but I mean, for umpires, they're just as inconsistent as players as well. Like, one day, an umpire will actually give you a good game. One day, the umpire will give you a bad game. What's actually ironic is there's some consistency that you can find with umpires, and it's two of them in particular, C.B. Buckner along with Angel Hernandez. And you know what's consistent about them? They both suck. And that's the only sort of consistency that you get with umpires. It's a big reason why I don't really look at the umpire data, because once you get the data on a guy, he's probably going to start to be a little bit more inconsistent. You got Angel Hernandez, who just doesn't give two you-know-whats about his job as well. So, I mean, there'll be one day where he might actually give you a halfway decent go of it, but, I mean, how are you supposed to know what blown calls are actually going to be made? There's absolutely no way of being able to do so. So that's a big reason why I just don't utilize umpire data. I know there are some people that do, and credit to you if you do. I personally am someone that do not, and I utilize weather data as well, especially you'll be noting in the game that is going to be going down on Monday out there in Wrigley Field. I'll be mentioning, hey, the wind is blowing in. Obviously, there are some ballparks in which you don't have to factor this in too much, and there's just some ballparks in general. Sometimes the roof is open, sometimes the roof is closed. I do my best to be able to take a look at that. Many ballparks other than Arizona don't really give you that data. You just have to take your own best scientific guess on that, and that's something that I do account for in my handicap as well, but that's something that you do want to take a look at. As a matter of fact, if you just type in Arizona ballpark open close the roof and you type that into Google, you're able to find it. And that's the biggest thing with taking a look at data for baseball as well. If you have a question about data, if you type it into Google, you'll probably actually get your answer. Like, baseball sabermetrics and baseball statistics are easier to find than ever before. Like, so many people were asking me, hey, how do you know that this guy's velocity has been dipping or not? What I literally did to be able to figure out pitchers that were dipping in velocity, that were picking up velocity, what have you, in terms of spring training, I literally went to Google and I put pitcher velocity increase, pitcher velocity dip. And that gave me all the answers, so that way I knew Mitch Keller coming into the year, he was experiencing a velocity dip, was able to ride that. You saw that a few years ago. I know that Zach Wheeler was not able to get in his work in spring training. I think it was in like 2022, so he was horrible in the first month of the season, and then after that he was able to pick it up. Those are the sorts of things that I do. I think that it's very important that if you have a question on something, just type it into the old Google machine, which I know it doesn't sound like it's the world's most complicated thing, but you know what? It typically gives you some relatively good results. And then in terms of more of the betting trends that we see, I do use things like team rankings. They do a nice job of being able to give you home and road splits as well. So If you're looking at that on the offensive side of things, that's relatively rock solid. You're able to take a look at how a team is doing in terms of pretty much every betting split, like their overs are hitting at home, their under rate when they're on the road, and then covers does a nice job of taking a look at things league-wide, and we'll probably have someone from covers and our good friend Andrew Cayley joining me in the next few days, so shout out to his website, because whenever you hear the just overall league-wide stats, what we all saw in the previous days in terms of the overs and the unders, covers, that is my go-to, and my go-to for being able to break down baseball is the Greg Peterson spreadsheet, which you're going to hear me break down everything. I'm going to give you guys my picks and analysis, what I'm all seeing in these games for Monday, and I'm going to try to get you guys some winners up next as we touch them all.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my god, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. That was a little bit of a segment number two that I made on the fly. So did you like what you heard? Did you not like what you heard? Were you a little bit indifferent to it and you just wanted to fast forward in order to be able to hear the picks and analysis? Let me know at GNN_81 because I always do just want to be making this podcast a little bit better for you guys. If you want more guests, if you want less guests, if you want to just keep things the way that they are, please do let me know. So just had to do a little bit of something on the fly as we had some unforeseen things happen, but hopefully you guys enjoyed that and hopefully you guys enjoy this as now it's that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Monday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
This starts with 951-952 on the betting board. The San Francisco Giants, they're on the road. They're facing off against the Philadelphia Phillies as Mason Black makes his MLB debut for the Giants and Zach Wheelan and Elon Wheeler is on the bump for the Philadelphia Phillies. We did not know that Black was going to be getting the start until late at night, so the only numbers that we're seeing are up at Circa. The Phillies are -187 favorites, +169 your number on San Francisco with a total of 8. The under is -120 and the over is even. And with the Phillies, if you're looking to lay a run and a half with them, right now I'm seeing that at a +109 and I'm going to be willing to lay the run and a half. Now, Mason Black has actually been really good in the PCL, and the PCL is sort of like a juice ball league. It's a league where ERAs for pitchers go to die, and he's got a sub-125 ERA this far this season. He's actually a little bit of a local guy. He pitched over at the Lehigh Mountain Hawks. That's in the state of Pennsylvania, the old Patriot League. But that said, I do think that his call from the minor leagues is going to be a little bit much for him in this circumstance, and they could use him to lend a little bit of length after Logan Webb did not necessarily give the start that the San Francisco Giants were relying upon yesterday. But for the Giants, their whole bullpen has just been unreliable this year. Really, both of these teams are in the bottom eight with regards to their bullpen ERA. You've got the Rogers brothers for the Giants who have been relatively solid along Camilo Yudeval, but guys like Randy Rodriguez, Eric Miller, they're just unreliable. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, typically the first month of the season, they're relatively rough for their bullpen, but even yesterday, they did not look so great. You need to get Jose Alvarado, Gregory Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez online, though Jeff Hoffman has been pretty darn solid this far this season, so that's something encouraging. But the Phillies, I do believe, have the better lineup, even with Trey Turner being out of the fold. You've still got Alec Bohm, who's been able to give you a .430 on base. He's been able to supply four home runs. You've been able to have Bryce Harper, Brandon Marsh be able to combine for 13 home runs. You've got Marsh now hitting about a .265, and Kyle Schwarber not aiming for a lot of average, but he's got his eight bombs as well, so that's big for the Philadelphia Phillies. And for the San Francisco Giants, it's just been all over the place in terms of trying to be able to get guys to move the line and get on base. I feel like Jungo Lee has hit better than the .245 average and two home runs would indicate. You've got Theriot Estrada, Jorge Soler, Michael Conforto, all with five home runs, but all these guys at .298 on base or worse, so that's been a bit of a problem. You've been able to have Michael Conforto be able to give you a little bit more in terms of average as he and Theriot Estrada hovering right around about a .255, but for Matt Chapman, even though he supplied the four home runs that he's had, .265 on base, really nobody other than Lamont Wade Jr. has been able to move the line for this team, so I do think that they're going to be up against it, against a guy in Zach Wheeler who's always been able to pitch a little bit better in Philadelphia than he has on the road, but really everywhere. He has been tremendous this year. He's been able to give you darn near 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's only giving up about 2.5 walks per 9 innings. Has been sharp from start to finish recently with one run surrendered over the course of 18 and a third innings over his last three starts. Granted, one of those starts was against the Chicago White Sox. Another was against the LA Angels, but he has really been living up to his nickname that I give him of Wheelan and Dylan. But I do think that for the Giants, they'll be able to get a little bit of something here, but I do think that the call for Black, he's probably not going to be able to last very long in this start in terms of just his ability to be able to go deep, and I do think that the Philadelphia Phillies are going to be able to cover him up, and both of these bullpens have been rough. So, did something total in 8.6, I'm looking at the over, and with the Phillies, I'm going to be willing to lay a run half. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 108 on that run line. 953, 954 on the betting board. This is going to be the DK Network right a pick as the Chicago Cubs play OC San Diego Padres as Yu Darvish goes for the Pods, and Justin Steele, the Man of Steel, is on the bump for the Cubs, and Cubs find themselves as between minus 114 to minus 120 favorites. And between minus 102 to plus 106 is your number on San Diego. 7 is the total I'm seeing at Circa. Nobody else has posted up a total quite yet. That over is minus 120 and the under is even. Wind is supposed to be blowing a little bit more directionally, not necessarily in towards the time of this game. It's going to be blowing in a little bit more towards the afternoon time. So, semi-total closer to an 8. I'm going to be willing to go with an over on an 8 or less, but right a pick is going to be on the Cubs' money line. I set them at a minus 142 for Justin Steele. He has been absolute nails for this Cubs team over the last few seasons. Has only made one start this far this season. He got the opening day start against the Texas Rangers. Went out with, I believe it was a groin injury. So, a little bit more of a lower body issue, but I have faith that he's going to be able to come back in and he's not going to be missing a beat. It's not like he had some sort of an arm or shoulder injury or anything like that. And last season, for Steele, an ERA of a 3.06, was giving up just 1.9 walks per 9 innings while getting 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, and was all the more dominant at home. With a 0.45 home runs per 9 rate, 2.65 ERA, and he gets to go up against a former Chicago Cub in Yu Darvish, who thus far this season hasn't been bad, hasn't been amazing, 3.45 ERA, 3 walks to about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but since he got to San Diego prior to the start of the 2021 campaign, just has not been the same on the road as he has been at home. 3.38 ERA with 2.1 walks per 9 innings at home, away from home, 2.5 walks per 9 innings, 4.42 ERA, and backed up by a Padres team that is hitting a .194 as a collective against lefties. At the very least, they were entering into Sunday. Now, the good news is you bring in Luis Arraez, and he should be able to hold down the fort and help this team out. 5 hits in 11 at-bats thus far this season, so that'll help out a Padres team. Then, in general, they're doing a better job of moving the line this year. You bring in Luis Capistrano to replace Gary Sanchez at the catcher spot, Jackson Merrill instead of Trent Grisham on the outfield. These guys have been rock solid. Not necessarily supplying a lot of power, as that's more what you're going to be able to get out of Manny Machado along Fernando Tatis Jr. You're buying 12 home runs out of both of these guys, both in between about a 250, 260. Jake Cronenworth has had a nice season as well, about a 350 on base, 6 bombs, but other than Jurickson Profar is really giving you a 430 on base. I do think that the Padres are going to be up against it just a little bit. And for the Cubs, even though they've been dealing with the injuries to C.A. Suzuki, Cody Bellinger, this team still leads the league in terms of runs per game at home. They're putting up darn near about 5.5 runs per contest when they are at home, as Christopher Morel was at a relatively rough start to the season. He's been able to really pick it up. He's went deep twice in the last 4 days. Michael Busch, he's been able to give you about a 320 on base. He's been able to supply 6 home runs. It's been a little bit cold in the home run department after he had 5 home runs in 5 straight games, but still I have plenty of guys like Mike Tauchman, Nico Horner, who have been able to above a 275 for the team, so that's been very helpful. Been able to get a little bit of something, including a helmet used to be able to protect base by Pete Crow Armstrong, as well as he's a young 22-year-old who's able to move the line. And for the Cubs, though they are 22nd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, you got some nice tough-like pieces for this team, as you've been able to have Hector Neris along with Mark Leiter Jr. come in, really do a nice job holding down the fort. If Justin Steele, because this is his first start off the injured list, is unable to deliver a lot of length, you've got a guy in Keegan Thompson that's able to be a little bit of a long guy as well. And for the San Diego Padres, they're offering right around about 17th in the league in terms of their bullpen ERA. I believe that they're actually a little bit better than this. I liked all the pickups of Wandy Peralta, Aniel De Los Santos, coupled with Yuki Matsui, come over from the Nippon Baseball League. And except for the Padres, they only got 3 innings yesterday on Matt Waldron, so this is a little bit of a tax bullpen, even though Robert Suarez has been very good at the closer spot. My right to pick, that's going to be on the Cubs money line. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 142 there, and somebody told me we're at an 8 or less. I'm going to be looking at the over. So, looking over at my write-up, that is going to be on the Cubs money line. 955, 956 on the bank board. The New York Mets at the road they're facing off against the St. Louis Cardinals. Kyle Gibson goes for the Cards, and Sean Manet is on the bump for the Mets. The Mets who find themselves as underdogs between plus 105 to plus 110. Minus 119 to minus 125 is the number on St. Louis. 8 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is anywhere between even a minus 110. I did set the Mets to where pretty much any sort of a plus number would do on them. I set them at a plus 102, so I'm going to be willing to dive in Got someone in Kyle Gibson who's starting to give up a little bit more hard contact than he has in past seasons. He's got about a 1.4 home runs per nine rate, 3.79 ERA overall for the season, but that fielding independent is well north of four. He's also been giving up a few more walks than normal, a little bit over three walks per nine innings, going up against someone in Sean Manaeo that, while he has five walks rendered in five innings, he's really been able to do a nice job of keeping the ball in the yard, giving up just one home run in 29-plus innings. He's been able to get north of nine strikeouts per nine innings, and really over his last five starts, since that one just bad one against the Kansas City Royals where he gives up six earned runs, he has been pretty dominant. He has given up one, two, or zero runs in every one. The other ones that include starts against the LA Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs. So he's done a nice job holding it down there. And he's got a Mets bullpen that ranks fourth in the big leagues behind him in terms of ERA. Getting back Edwin Diaz has been absolutely massive for this team. And even with Brooks Raley out of the fold due to injury, we've had so many guys be able to step up like Adam Ottavino, Jake Diekman, Reed Garrett. These are guys who have been able to do a very solid job being able to supply relatively good ERA. Saints Diekman, who's at a 4.22, and I think that he's going to be able to pick it up. Where you have trepidation with the Mets is in terms of the lineup. You've been able to have Pete Alonso supply 8 home runs and Francisco Lindor 6, but both of these guys, a sub-300 on base. Both of these guys hitting below a 210. We got the likes of Harrison Bader, Brett Batty, and Starling Marte, though, of the Marte Parte, giving you between about a 272, 280 average. These are guys, they're doing a nice job of being able to move the line. It's a Mets team that has been a little bit all over the place, just in terms of their righty-lefty splits as well, which is very interesting to see. This is a Mets team that, against right-hand pitching, they just have not been able to do anything whatsoever. So that's going to be a little bit of an issue for them. But this is a St. Louis Cardinals team that they have not been able to hit righties. They have not been able to hit lefties. And Wilson Contreras is right now carrying the team. He's been able to supply the team with six home runs thus far this season. He's been able to give you nearly a 400 on base. But for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're currently hitting a .183 against lefties. And Sean Manaea is one of them. They've had four home runs and 273 at-bats. I believe that they are second worst in the big leagues in terms of home runs per at-bat against left-handed pitching. And the young guys like Lars Nupar, Victor Scott, Jordan Walker, Michael Cini, I mean, they've been interchanging these guys. I think that they've had at least one of these guys sent down to the minor leagues, but they're all just not producing in general. Paul Goldschmidt looks old. He's been able to give you two home runs. He's sitting at 208. Nolan Arenado's honestly done a solid job being able to move the line, 350 on base, but you expect more than two home runs out of him. Mason Wynn has really stepped up to his credit, but that said, for the Cardinals, they have been rough in terms of their offense. I do think that the Mets can have a little bit of a tough time generating offense as well against a Cardinals bullpen that is now about league average. In terms of ERA, they bring in Andrew Kittredge, who's been very good from the Tampa Bay Rays. Ryan Elsley was an all-star reliever two seasons ago, but do have a few others that, well, they've been a little bit less than trustworthy thus far this season. I actually like Ryan Fernandez and his upside, but Andre Pallante is currently out of the fold. You've got Leahy. You've been able to have, as well, someone like a Giovanni Gallegos just not be able to give you much of anything. All those guys north of a 470 ERA. So, circumstance where here at a plus 103 or higher, going to be looking at the Mets winning line and did some high total at 7.7. Both of these offense certainly have been struggling, so I like the under and I do like the Mets on the money line. 957, 958 on the betting board. The LA Dodgers play to the Miami Marlins. Rodery Munoz is on the bump for the Marlins, and you got Walker Buehler on the bump for the Dodgers. The Dodgers who find themselves as massive favorites, anywhere between minus 265 to minus 280. Meanwhile, if you're taking a look at the Miami Marlins, it's anywhere between plus 215 and plus 230. Total on this game is 8.5. The under is minus 115 and the over is minus 105. And I did sell my total at 9.2. I'm going to be looking at the over. And with the Dodgers, I was willing to go up to a minus 142 in terms of laying a run half. Right now, you're finding that run line at a minus 125. Recognize that Walker Buehler has not made a start at the big league level since the end of the 2022 campaign, but I just cannot get behind this Miami Marlins team at all. And for Walker Buehler, I do think that he's probably going to be on a pretty strict pitch count. I think that there's going to be a short leash on him, as at the minor league level, he pitched relatively okay. A 4.15 ERA over the course of his 8 starts. He was getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, and he was looking better and better as things were going along, as and it's been a long rehab process for him in general. But I do think that for Walker Buehler, though he's probably not going to be looking like an all-star coming out here, he has given up now one run or fewer in 3 out of his last 5 rehab appearances, and 2 runs or fewer in all but one of them. So that's something that is very encouraging. His swing and miss stuff was getting better and better as things went along. So I do think that he's going to come in and he's going to be relatively fine against the Miami Marlins team that has been one of the worst offenses in the big leagues. And now you take Luis Arraez out of the fold, who was the main guy in terms of being able to move the line. been able to have Brian De La Cruz, who's been able to supply six home runs. He's done a solid job being able to reach base with about a .265 average, but this team is missing Jake Berger, who's really the best power bat for the team, and now you just don't have guys in general that are able to get on base for the team. In terms of guys who are currently in the lineup that have seen at least 60 at-bats thus far this season, you've got one guy that is sitting above a .234 in De La Cruz. You've got Chad Chisholm, who's sitting about a .234, and everyone else is hitting a .218 or lower, and all those guys hitting a .218 or lower, it's not like they're doing a great job getting on base. All at a .293 or worse. Josh Bell hitting a .197 with three home runs. You're hoping for a little bit more there. The entire catcher spot is bad for the team. Christian Bethencourt, Nick Fortes, these are two guys hitting below a .150 right now. Jonah Bride is giving you nothing, and it's all compounded by the fact that the Miami Marlins have absolutely no bullpen whatsoever. Guys like Andrew Nardi, Tanner Scott, George Soriano, these guys that were very good in this bullpen this past season in 2023, well, this year they sort of stink. They're currently 25th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. All these guys are posting up well north of a 5 ERA. And for the LA Dodgers, it's not like the bullpen has been amazing. They do lose guys like Victor Scott from a season ago, but they're back in the top 10 in terms of bullpen ERA. Joe Kelly is a guy that you absolutely do want to avoid, but someone like a Michael Grove is able to give you a little bit of length if you can't necessarily get the length that you're hoping for out of Walker Buehler. Blake Treinen is finally back in the fold for the team. When he's on, he is on. Evan Phillips has been incredible for this bunch as well. So being able to get this run line price where I am able to get it, I'm going to be willing to lay it, because with the LA Dodgers, they have won 232 regular season games since the beginning of the 2022 campaign. All but 36 have been by multiple runs. And you just take a look at the top of the fold. Mookie Betts and Oscar Hernandez combined 14 home runs between the two of them. Shohei Ohtani now has 10 home runs. Both he and Mookie Betts have north of a .425 on base. Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, both are also giving you north of a .395 on base. Both of these guys down a little bit in terms of their power numbers, but Max Muncy, .370 on base, 8 home runs. The team is all one of the best at being able to generate walks as well. So I think that Rodery Munoz, who is averaging about 8 walks per 9 innings at the minor league level, has honestly looked a little bit better here in his few starts at the major league level. 11 innings, he's given up just 3 runs along the way, but I do think that he's really going to be up against it against this LA Dodgers team. I do like the Dodgers laying a run half up to a -142, and here at this total, I'm going to be willing to take it over, set mine at a 9.2. 959, 960 on the betting board. The Cleveland Guardians play host to the Detroit Tigers, as Captain Jack Flaherty is going to be on the bump for the Tigers, and it is Tristan McKenzie who's on the bump for Cleveland. Cleveland is anywhere between a -115 to a -122 favorite, and between +102 to +106 is your number on Detroit. 7.5 is the total. The under is -115. The over is -105. And I'm going to be taking a look at the over. I did set my total at 7.9. Cleveland Guardians have been a top 8 team in terms of run creation all season long. And even though this team is not necessarily going to be able to generate like amount of power that allowed them to be a top 5 team in the big leagues with regards to home runs, they've got functional power this year, which is much more than what you're able to say the past two seasons are averaging about a home run per game. Josh Naylor, Jose Ramirez leading the charge with a combined 14 home runs between the two of them. Ramirez needs to start aiming for a little bit more average, only hitting about a .230, but with Josh Naylor about a .350 on base, you've had the likes of a Andrés Giménez be able to step up as well. He's hitting a .270, and Stephen Kwan at the leadoff spot has been pretty good. North of 4 on base, .353 average. Now you've got the likes of Bo Naylor, Estevan Florel, Ramon Laureano. These guys hitting below the Mendoza line of a .200, but all in all, I do take a look at this bunch. I do like what I'm seeing there, and they do an especially good job against lefties. Now, Captain Jack Flaherty is a righty, and last we saw Captain Jack Flaherty, he was getting pulled with like 15 strikeouts against the St. Louis Cardinals, and he looked very, very nasty in that start. But for Flaherty, he's just all over the place. You don't know what you're going to be able to get from him night in and night out. As prior to that start, he had given up 3+ runs in each out of his previous 4 starts. We all know that the whiff rate is very, very high with him. And for the credit of Jack Flaherty, he's only given up 5 walks in 36 innings. In my opinion, he has pitched well better than that 4 ERA, and he's backed up by a tremendous bullpen as well. You've got the likes of a Jason Foley, Andrew Chafin, Alex Fiedo. These guys give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Shelby Miller has been solid. Alex Lang has been solid. But on the flip side for the Cleveland Guardians, this is also one of the best bullpens in the big leagues. You remove Tyler Beede, and they're probably number one in terms of bullpen ERA. But that said, you've been able to get really good innings out of the likes of Hunter Gaddis, Tim Herron, Cade Smith. All these guys are able to do a nice job of being able to hold down the fort. And for Tristan McKenzie to come a little bit of time to be able to figure it out. He was injured pretty much all of last season after during the 2022 campaign, posted up a 2.95 ERA. He was getting about 9 strikeouts, about 2.5 walks per 9 innings thus far this season. His strikeout numbers are down. He's only been able to get about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, and the walks have been an issue. But last two starts, a combined 3 walks in 11 innings, giving up 2 runs apiece to the Astros and the Boston Red Sox. Relatively good starts out there, and I do think that he's going to do a nice job signing a Detroit Tigers team that, if you look at the overall season numbers, this bunch is in the bottom 8 in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. The power numbers are not there. 29 home runs in just 34 games thus far this season. Riley Green has been great. He and Mark Canha both north of a 370 on base. Canha has been able to give you 5 home runs, so yes, he can give you some power. And for Riley Green, 8 home runs for him thus far this season. But I mean, you take a look at some of these guys towards the bottom of the fold that are just doing nothing for you. Parker Meadows, Jake Rogers, Javi Baez. These guys are hitting below 200. That's been an issue. Wencel Perez has been a nice find, though, by the way. 3 home runs, hitting about 300. He's been able to really step it up for this Detroit Tigers team. They're just a little bit too built around their pitching. I do think that Jack Flaherty is going to have a few struggles here against the Cleveland Guardians, a team that does a nice job of not striking out. And I do think that that is going to be the elixir here. And I do think that both of these teams do him for a little bit of regression in the bullpen as well. So I did set the Guardians at a minus 123. I'm going to be willing to lay the money line with them, and did set my total at 7.9. So here at the 7.5, also looking at the over. 961, 962 on the betting board. The Chicago White Sox hit the road. They're facing off against the Tampa Bay Rays. Currently, the betting board reads to be determined for the Chicago White Sox and to be determined for the Tampa Bay Rays. So this game is off the board. When I was looking at the probable starters on ESPN, they were showing Mike Soroka for the White Sox and Tyler Alexander for the Rays. And with these two guys slotted in, I set the Rays at a minus 115 on the run line. I need at least a plus 225 to take a shot on the White Sox on the money line. And with regards to the total, I set it to where a 7.5 or less, I'm looking at the over an 8 or higher to the under. And if you get Mike Soroka out there, man, this guy's not been tremendous, to say the least. For our good friend and Mr. Mike Soroka, he has been getting about 4.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's actually got more walks than strikeouts. He's given up 7 home runs at 33 and a third innings. Gave up a combined 4 runs in his last 2 starts against the Minnesota Twins, but the Twins honestly are not good in terms of their lineup. And if you do get Tyler Alexander, you probably want him to be coming out of the bullpen as a little bit more of a, shall we say, bulk guy thus far this season. He seems to be a little bit more effective than he has been in a true starter's role. But that said, for Alexander, the big thing for him is just being able to keep the walks down. Throughout his career, he's been about a 2.2 walks per 9 inning guy, and it's very likely that we're just probably going to see an opener here for the Tampa Bay Rays. But for Mr. Alexander, he's done a nice job here recently. He's given up a combined 7 runs over the course of his last 4 starts / bulk appearances going against the Yankees and the Milwaukee Brewers in that time span. Not going to give you a lot of swing and miss, but all in all, this is a nice job to be able to hold down the fort. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, have to feel like they were able to find their offense a little bit more in that series against the New York Mets. They were able to hang a combined 20 runs in those 3 games, so do like to see that, as Isaac Paredes has been able to give you 7 home runs this far this season. And you really only have 2 other guys that give you north of 3 home runs, Randy Arozarena being one of them, Richie Palacios being the other. So this has been a relatively powerless team, and even though Randy Arozarena has given you 5 home runs, he's got a grand total of 18 hits as far as this season, and he's currently hitting .143. That is a big, giant issue. You've had a few other guys just be disappointments in general, as Curtis Meade, coupled with Jose Siri, Andy Shelton. These are guys hitting a .220 or lower. Rene Pinto, it's not giving you a lot at the catcher spot, though. Ben Rotfit, he has not gone deep this far this season, but a .440 on base, so that's been a nice little pleasant surprise. But it's been a not-so-pleasant surprise, the Tampa Bay Rays being absolutely awful in the bullpen. They're currently in the bottom 8 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. They're currently without Pete Fairbanks, who, when he was in the fold, he is not necessarily too tremendous for this team. The guys that are really getting it done for this team is Jason Adam along Garrett Clevenger, both of these guys supplying a sub at .225 ERA. And Kevin Kelly has been relatively solid as well, but you take a look at the likes of a Manuel Rodriguez, Colin Pouchet, who I'm pretty sure is now on the injured list now as well, Jacob Lopez, Phil Maton. These are guys giving north of a 6 ERA. They go up against White Sox team, though, that they themselves are on the bottom 10 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. The likes of Davey Garcia along with Steven Wilson are just not cutting it. Wilson, honestly, doesn't have the world's worst ERA, but Michael Kopech just continues to give up home run after home run. Dominic Leon just does not be able to provide too much. And for the White Sox, yay, verily, that they're up to 3 road wins as far this season, but they're still dead last in the big leagues in terms of home runs. They are last in the league with regards to their overall batting average at about a 211, as you've got so many guys like Andrew Benintendi, Kevin Pillar, Andrew Vaughn, able to throw in there Dominic Fletcher, Nicky Lopez, owing a 207 or worse. You've had Eloy Jimenez start to pick it up a little bit. He's up to four home runs, about a 290 on base. And Tommy Pham is hitting in north of a 285. He's cooled off a little bit, but all in all, has been able to give the team a little bit of breath of life. But hard to really have a lot of faith here in the White Sox. I'm willing to lay up to a -115 on this Rays run line. And then 7.5 or less, looking at the over, 8 or higher, the under. And I need at least a +225 to take a shot on the Chicago White Sox. 963, 964 on the betting board. The Seattle Mariners, if they're either facing off against the Minnesota Twins, as you've got Luis Castillo on the bump for Seattle, and Simeon Woods Richards is on the bump for the Twins. The Twins do find themselves as underdogs, anywhere between +114 to +120. -127 to -135 is your number on Seattle. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 8. Under is between -120 to a -130. Over is between even a +110 on the 7.5. Over is -112, and the under is -108. Going to be willing to ride with the Mariners. I did set them as a -132 favorite. For Simeon Woods Richards, he's been able to be a pretty competent pitcher in his first few starts. And if you look at him at the minor league level, he didn't do anything amazing. He didn't do anything terrible. And that's sort of what I'm expecting here. Thus far, he's been able to get about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings in a small sample size here at the major league level, giving up about 2.5 walks per 9 innings, 219 fielding in a pen, which is very impressive, though. That's over the course of 14 and 2/3 innings, and mostly because he has yet to give up a home run this season. Now, for the Seattle Mariners, it has been an issue where they've just not been able to generate a lot of offense, but keep in mind they played quite a few home games this far this season. And for Seattle, you may recall last season at home, they were a bottom four offense in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. They were actually an above average road offense, and we could be seeing that once again this season. You need Julio Rodriguez to get some clutch hits for you, but that said, you've been able to have Kyle Raleigh be able to supply the boom. He's up to 8 home runs this far this season. Again, he, Mitch Haniger, the now injured J.P. Crawford, Dylan Moore, these are guys hitting a 210 or lower, but Josh Rojas has been very good for the team. For Mr. Rojas, he's now hitting about a 360. He had a 3-8 game yesterday, so love what I'm seeing there. Ori Polanco hitting for no average whatsoever, but has been able to supply this team with 5 home runs. And even with Seattle not getting a lot of offense, this has been one of the best bullpens in the big leagues. You've had so many of these guys just cast it off into obscurity, like Tyson Miller, Gabe Spire, throw in there as well Cody Bolton, Trent Thornton. They've all been able to give you like a sub-3.5 ERA. This team is in the top 5 with regards to their bullpen ERA. And for the Minnesota Twins, they're a top 7 team with regards to their ERA as well. They have brought in Yoan Duran, who was out with an injury to begin the season. He's back in the fold. He's got a great introductory song. I still go with Edwin Diaz's personally, but I do respect the game. You've got Griffin Jacks, Jorge Alcala doing an amazing job in this bullpen. Steven Okert, who comes in from the Miami Marlins, he's been able to do a nice job of holding down the fort as well. So I don't think that there's going to be a lot of run scoring in this game. I do like the under, but I do think that Luis Castillo is going to be able to continue the dominance that we've been seeing out of the Seattle Mariners starters in 21 out of the last 22 starts, and it was snapped yesterday to be that lone outlier. A Seattle Mariners starter has come in and given up 2 earned runs or fewer for Castillo. He's been a little bit wobbly this season, but now he's been able to pick it up. 2 earned runs or fewer surrendered in each out of his last 4 starts, and he has the walks under control. He has given up just 4 walks in his last 4 starts. If you look overall for the season, he is giving up only about like 1.8 walks per 9 innings. He's been able to do a relatively solid job keeping the ball in the yard. He's given up 1 home run per 9 innings, and he's pitched much better than that 3.46 ERA would indicate. The fielding independent is a 2.93. He goes up against a Minnesota Twins team that right now they look okay on offense, but most of that is because they had 2 series against the Chicago White Sox and 1 against the LA Angels over the last 21 or so days. That's really propping up their offense that has been pretty anemic all season long. They're without Royce Lewis. They're also now without Byron Buxton. If you're looking at this Minnesota Twins team, they're only averaging about 3.67 runs per game at home. That's a bottom 4 mark in the American League. Been able to get some nice pop out of Edouard Julien, Ryan Jeffers. They've combined for 13 home runs this far this season. And Jeffers up to a 375 on base. Now you're getting back Carlos Correa, Max Kepler, a pair of guys hitting at least a 260 for you. And both of these guys are worth a 360 in terms of their on base. So that's relatively encouraging. But Carlos Santana, though, he's been a little bit better as of late. He's still laying below the Mendoza Cardinals. I have 200 along with Kyle Farmer as well. So I do have some issues with this Twins lineup. I certainly do with the Seattle Mariners, but I do think that in the end, the Mariners find a way to be able to get the job done. Willing to lay up to a minus 131 on that Mariners money line. And at a 7.5 to an 8, I'm looking at the under. 965, 966 on the bank board. The Oakland A's play host to the Texas Rangers. Andrew Heaney goes for the Rangers, and Alex Wood is on the bump for Oakland. Oakland is an underdog of anywhere between plus 114 to plus 120. Meanwhile, between minus 130 to minus 135, that's your number on Texas, and the long scheme is 8. The under is minus 115, and the over is minus 105. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Texas Rangers, you're going to be finding that plus price anywhere between about a plus 130, seeing as high as a plus 140 out there. I would need at least a plus 140 to be able to lay a run half with Texas. I'm willing to go up to a minus 126 on this money line as well, so I'm going to be deciphering what we all get overnight if we can get this down to where the Texas Rangers are more like a minus 125 favorite. We'll be willing to lay that. If we can get up to a plus 127 or higher, I'll be taking a look at the Oakland A's. So a little bit TBD. If I had to absolutely bet it right now, though, I would be looking at the Rangers at north of a plus 135, laying a run half. But that said, with the Oakland A's, the biggest reason why I do have a little bit more trepidation with Alex Wood than other starters is that, well, he's the guy that's most untrustworthy right now for the Oakland A's, north of a 6 ERA. Not like the fielding independent is Sterling, because he's given up about a home run and a half per nine innings. He's been given up nearly 4.5 walks per nine innings. Not a high swing and miss guy. And now he has to go up against a Texas Rangers team that they were able to find themselves a little bit more in that series against the Kansas City Royals. This bunch has now been able to get to at least 6 runs in 2 out of their last 4 games. For the Rangers, I do think that they are going to be able to pick it up on offense. Corey Seager has just had a miserable start to the season. 2 home runs, hitting at 228. You know that he's better than that. They now have Wyatt Langford out of the fold, but I do feel like the likes of Jared Walsh, Leody Taveras, Evan Carter, these guys sitting at 235 or lower, they're going to be able to pick it up a little bit. Jared Walsh, I don't know if he's going to be with the team anymore. I think that he's going to be getting DFA'd soon if he hasn't been already. But that said, you got Nate Lowe back in the fold. He's been able to hit north of 300 for the team. And Adolis Garcia, about a 345 on base, 8 home runs. So these guys have been relatively rock solid. And for the Rangers, they've been a pedestrian offense thus far this season. But it's better than the Oakland A's, who they are still towards the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of many offensive categories. They just don't generate the same amount of offense when they're at home rather than away from home. If you look at the A's away from home, they're actually leading the big leagues with regards to home runs per game on the road. But for Oakland, they are now averaging about 3.8 runs per game at home. That's still a bottom 12 mark in the big leagues. A lot of that is because of the 21-run game that we saw against the Miami Marlins. So prior to that, they were averaging just 3 runs per contest. So I saw my question marks with regards to this Oakland A's offense. Shea Langeliers, Brent Rooker, these two guys have been able to give you a combined 15 home runs, but this is still a team that has a collective. They're hitting at 290 in terms of on base. They're hitting at 215 with regards to their batting average, and if you isolate it to what they're doing only at home, they're now hitting at 233. Once again, so much of that is based on that 20-run game that we saw about 48 or so hours ago. But the one thing that this Oakland A's team is doing is that they have been absolutely amazing out there in the bullpen. This Oakland A's bullpen in the top 8 in the big leagues with regards to their ERA. Mason Miller has been a tremendous closer. Still feel like he should be a starter, but that said, he's been tremendous on that front. Then the likes of Michael Kelly, Lucas Ursage, giving you a sub-3 ERA. Kyle Mueller has been a relatively good long guy. Austin Adams has been rock solid. That's big against a Rangers team that's relatively league average in terms of their bullpen ERA. You've been able to have Kirby Yates, David Robertson come in and hold down the fort for the team, and I like Jacob Lyons as well. They need to get Jose Leclerc going. He's been posting up north of 5 ERA, and when it comes to Andrew Heaney, throughout his career, he's just given up the deep ball. 1.5 home runs per 9 innings for his career. He's posting up north of a 5 ERA. Fielding pen is really not any more favorable than that, as he's been giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings. And for Andrew Heaney, throughout his career, he's always been a nice strikeout pitcher, but he's only getting about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings thus far this season. So at a minus 126 or less, I'm going to be willing to lay it with the Rangers, and at least a plus 127 to take a shot on the Oakland A's. But did semi-total in an 8.3, so you're at the 8, looking at the over. 967, 968 on the bank board. The Pittsburgh Pirates play with CL Angels. Tyler Anderson goes for the Halos, and Mitch Keller is on the bump for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh does find themselves as a favorite of any between minus 140 to minus 148, and between plus 124 to a plus 132 is your number on Los Angeles. 8 is the total, the over and the under, anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. Want to go up to a minus 142 with the Pirates. It's actually opened up at a minus 135, so at most books, I'd still be willing to lay it up to a minus 142 for Tyler Anderson. If you look at the raw ERA, this guy has actually been very good. He has been able to post up about a 2.23 ERA. The advanced numbers show something different. His fielding independence more than double his ERA at right around about a 4.75. He has given up about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. He's given up darn near 4 walks per 9 innings, not getting a lot of swings and misses. That's an issue. And when he had that big year with the LA Dodgers 2 seasons ago, he was only posting up about 1.7 walks per 9 innings. He's well north of double that. Right now for Mitch Keller, it's been a little bit touch and go for him as well. He was dealing with a little bit of a velocity dip in spring training and just has never been able to find it this season. He's given up at least 3 runs in each out of his last 3 starts, but that said, I do think that he's pitching a little bit better than that ERA would indicate, about a 5.18 ERA. Fielding independence is closer to about a 4.2, as he's been able to get now about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's been coming back to him, and now he gets to go up against an LA Angels team that is troutless. Mike Trout being out of the fold has really hurt this bunch, but you do have out there a guy in Taylor Ward who, you know, that he's going to be able to supply a little bit of boom. He's been able to give you 7 home runs, hitting about a 2.80, which has been encouraging. And then Logan Ohapi along with Joe Adell, both of these guys are hitting about a 2.60. Both of these guys have been able to supply a little bit of power, with Adell being able to give you 4 home runs. But outside of Taylor Ward and Joe Adell, you don't have a single healthy player right now that has north of 3 home runs for this bunch. And then we got a lot of guys who are just struggling in general, because you have the likes of a Mickey Moniak, Aaron Hicks, whenever he's been out there, here Adrianza, that are hitting below a 200. I think that they just picked up Kevin Pillar, who is a disaster with the White Sox. Looks like he's going to be a disaster with the Angels. And for the Angels, they're in the bottom 6 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. They tried out Jose Cicerano. That really didn't work out. Now they've got reclamation projects of Amir Garrett, Andrew Simber, along with Hunter Strickland, who have all been not great, to say the least. You've got Matt Moore, Carlos Estevez, or a very nice 8th and 9th inning duo. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, this has been a bottom 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA as well, even though Colin Holderman has been able to give you sub 2 ERA. Roldis Chapman, David Benar, both of these guys posting up a north of 5 ERA. That's been rough. You have been able to get some solid innings when he's been out there over the last few years from Ryan Barucci, but now he's on the injured list, so that's been a little bit less than tremendous. But that said, I do take a look at this Pirates team. I do think that they're going to be able to get just enough out of their offense, one that has been a little bit rough, but Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, Connor Joe, they've all been able to give you at least a 340 on base, and in the case of Reynolds, he's been able to supply 4 home runs, Connor Joe, 290 average, and O'Neill Cruz, after he had a really, really just rough last 3 to 4 weeks in general. It feels like things are starting to step up a little bit more for him as well. He's up to 5 home runs. He's been able to give you a few stolen bases as well when he's been given the opportunity, hitting about a 245. So do look at the circumstance, and I do think that the Pirates are going to be able to get to Anderson, and Keller has been a little bit less than tremendous as well. So I'm going to be willing to take a look at the over. So I'm at 8.1 and at a minus 142 or less, looking at the Pirates, and we wrap things up with 969, 970 on the board. It is the Kansas City Royals. We play to the Milwaukee Brewers. Bryce Wilson is on the bump for the Crew, and Cole Ragans is on the bump for the Royals. And the Royals do find themselves as a favorite of anywhere between minus 140 to a minus 142. Meanwhile, for the Brewers, you're going to be getting them anywhere between plus 122 to a plus 131. Total on this game is between 8 and 8.5. On the 8, the over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. On the 8.5, the over is between minus 110 to minus 123. The under is anywhere between minus 110 to a plus 103. And did somebody tell us 7.9? I'm going to be looking at the under. Both of these teams are slightly above average in terms of their bullpen ERAs. I do think that the Royals are going to see a little bit of regression moving forward, but I really like what I've been seeing out of the likes of a Matt Sauer, since what we saw over the weekend against the Texas Rangers. A few cast-off starters like an Anel Zarpa, James MacArthur, be able to supply sub 3.5 ERA, but I just flat out think that Cole Ragans is going to be dealing in this one. For Cole Ragans, I recognize that he was dealing with a little bit of an injury concern, but looks like he should be able to be good to go in this one. 3.44 ERA from this season, but just a 2.15 fielding independent, allowing 1 home run in 36 plus innings. He's been able to get north of 11 punchouts per 9 innings, and he goes up against a team in the Milwaukee Brewers that they are just not hitting left-handed pitching. It's been this way for the last few seasons for the Brewers, and they've got a lot of nice upside guys that I have to wonder how long they're going to be able to keep this up, but the likes of a Bryce Terang, Blake Perkins, these guys have been able to hit north of a 265. Oliver Dunn has come back to earth a little bit, but both of these guys have been relatively solid. Been able to get 5 home runs, north of a 4 on base for William Contreras, who's really been able to do a nice job unexpectedly for the Brewers. You've got William Adames, who's giving you north of a 350 on base, but they are still dealing with that injury to Christian Yelich, which when he was in the fold, he was looking absolutely incredible for this bunch. But getting back to the Brewers and how they're hitting against lefties, right now, 198 is how they're their hitting against the left-handed and pitching with 6 home runs and 172 at-bats. So they've been able to hit a few bombs, but they have not really been able to consistently move the line. And for the Royals, it is a little bit of a hit-or-miss lineup of their own. Each of their top 5 players with regards to at-bats have at least 4 home runs thus far this season, but likes of MJ Melendez, Mikel Garcia, Vinny Pascantino, they're only at 232 or less, so we'd like to see them pick it up, though. Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez both are 375 on base. Perez is up to 8 home runs this far this season, so these guys have been able to do a solid job, though. Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfroe, throw in there as well, Freddie Fermin. These are guys hitting at 218 or lower along Kyle Isbell, but I do think that for Bryce Wilson, it's going to be a little bit up against it, a very much pitch-to-contact guy that's up to strikeout stuff a little bit this year. It's up to about 7.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He never gives up a lot of walks, but he has given up a lot of hard contact. 4 home runs given up in 24 innings. His barrel rate the last few seasons has been extremely high. He's got a 3 ERA, but a fielding independent, that's about a point and a half higher. Fortunately for him, he's backed up by a Brewers bullpen that, if you look at the ERA, they're right around 12th in the league, but they're much better than this. Elvis Piguero, Hobie Milner, Joe Piamps all had a sub-3 ERA last season. Brian Hudson has been incredible for this bunch, a sub-1 ERA. And keep in mind, Devin Williams, he's going to be back sooner rather than later for this team as well, but I think that Reagans is going to be flat-out dealing, and I think both of these teams are going to have a little bit of a tough time putting back to ball, set my total at 7.9, so I like the under, and I do like the Royals on the money line, set them at a minus 153, and that'll wrap things up for the Monday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and we'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.